to PPN Mobile. This is M2EV Mobile. Hey, what's going on? I'm at the, I'm at Cypress. Wait. Already. Jeez. You guys don't wake up this time.
Really? We don't wake up in time?
Back from Friday. N2PPN, N2EV.
Alright, I'll catch you later. N2PPN Mobile.
N2ASS, I can't believe that was Jonathan. I haven't heard him in so long. Maybe he'll pop back on here every once in a while.
He's been on, but this is what time he signs. So if you want to speak with him, you will need to get on your radio earlier.
That is what I will have to do. That is what I will do. Today I left a little bit earlier because I want to go grab the checks and bring them in.
You're going to be the check boy?
I'm the only one who lives this far out east, so it works out.
Do you get anything extra for picking up the checks?
Yeah, I get my check. That's about it. No, I don't. But there's many times, many, that I use it to my benefit. If I'm running a little bit late, I'll always stop at the shop and grab a little something, whatever it is, roll of tape, whatever I want to get. And then I'll show up and they'll say, hey, you're late. No, I stopped at the shop. You know, something like that, I use it to my benefit.
Oh, you twixter, you.
Oh, it works out because I've been, you know, late a few times. Not a lot, but a few times.
I don't ever see you as being late ever because you're the perfect employee. See that beautiful moon setting over there in the sky?
Yes, I do. It's very romantic.
Wanna hold hands?
I was thinking I'm holding the mic and you're holding your mic. It's holding hands by proxy.
Please be careful. I don't want to be careful. I want to throw caution to the wind.
Hey, did you see that video? YouTube video, Truth About Ham Operators?
No.
Guy's a ham operator, and I'll tell you what, he tears us apart, boy. And some parts are pretty funny. But for the most part, he really does not like ham radio operators, and he's a ham operator.
Right, I'm an electrician, and I hate electricians. Gary?
I don't hate anyone. I just like individual people, but not groups of people.
Well, the guy started this video. You'll have to watch it. And he started saying, like I'll say it to our Sierra, Sierra for ID. And he'll say, what do they say for ID for? He goes, everyone knows. What else would he be throwing his call out there for if it wasn't for ID? Well, I guess he could be breaking into the station. But then he talks about contesting, which is a bunch of mindless people, not giving a name, just throwing call signs out there back and forth. He said they hold a ham, an emergency net, you know, every week, once a week. Never had an emergency, but they hold this net anyway because they think they're big people. They don't have any guts behind them. They're big behind a microphone, but they'll never confront you in person. They're all fat, and he has a bunch of pictures of fat people. And it just went on and on for at least 10 minutes like that.
Now, I like this guy already.
Well, yeah, but then he went on to say how mindless the test was, and, you know, it's an extremely easy test, this, that, and the other thing. Well, it just went on and on.
I like this guy already. I'm liking him more and more. Keep telling me more about him, Greg.
I'm trying. He didn't talk about the odor, though. He said that a lot of hams dislike me, And he goes, so I told him I'll be at the local ham fest wearing a yellow raincoat, and it was a sunny day. And he said, I'm going to be wearing this so you guys know who I am. So if you have a beef with me, come up and talk. And he said, not one person came up and talked to him. That part was pretty funny.
Harry, are you wearing a yellow raincoat?
I don't own a yellow raincoat,
supposedly.
And if I did, I wouldn't admit it.
How are you in your commute, Gary?
Just got it started. I'm still on the Meadowbrook.
Ooh, I'm ahead of you.
I have one phrase for that.
Whoop-de-doo! I keep smelling latkes.
You keep smelling latkes, huh? Did you have any last night and forget to get washed afterwards?
She wasn't allowed to have any last night. She's starting to prepare the big batch to bring to the family gathering.
That was a guy on taxi.
Oh, Wendy was cooking him? Okay, you have the clothes out, and the smell is in the clothes.
Guess it overpowers my cigar odor smell.
This is a good thing. Problem with that is that by smelling the latkes all day, you're going to be hungry all day.
Vodka!
What?
I don't think it matters how much that guy eats, boy. Always going to stay dead, hungry all day or not.
What guy, what are you talking about?
You have no fat on your body.
You know about my body.
I've seen it.
You know, this is starting to take a very creepy turn.
You mentioned the moon, it was game over.
Just because I said the moon looked romantic and you want to hold hands doesn't mean give you the right to talk about my body. I warned you.
Around and around and around.
The wheels on the bus.
I just passed the guy who had an encounter with one of those plastic orange barrels on the road. One had blown onto the middle lane. And luckily, I passed it, but he zammed right into it.
Okay.
That's a good word.
Zam, I am. I do not like green eggs and zam.
When he hit it, did it get stuck under his car or did it fly away?
It flew away, but I can imagine what the front end of his car looks like.
No damage, maybe a scuff.
And they're actually fairly soft. I'm surprised it didn't crack. If it was cold around, it might have just cracked apart. But they're pretty soft. Did he hit a round one or the ones that are like flat, like us, almost square, rectangle looking?
He hit one of the ones that looked like a big 30 or 40 gallon barrel.
We haven't switched over to sticks yet out here in Nassau County. We're behind the times.
And now this, you know, so like he said, it's scuff. I mean, if it caught the right way, it could have cracked his grill, but most likely not much of anything.
The worst thing he had to worry about was the ring on the bottom of the barrel, if the ring was even there. Not getting caught up underneath the vehicle as he went over the barrel, if he got the barrel to fold down.
Well, the barrel was rolling, so I assume the ring wasn't on it, because I didn't see it, and it was laying down, so he could have gone over it and got it caught, but he must have hit it square enough to push it out of the way.
So he's probably all right. What would have been bad is if it had that little light on the top. That could have been something that may go through your window or something.
And CPN Mobile, it's Creedmoor Amateur Radio Club, where they serve soup to nuts.
And to Zeddy B, coming up to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde Road.
So I got to lay some flooring this weekend.
In what room, pray tell?
The hallway outside of the bathroom downstairs.
Would you care to elaborate on what kind of flooring? Was it wood flooring, laminate flooring? What'd you pop down in?
Okay, wood flooring.
The gun where you smack it and the nail slams down at an angle?
It's not parquet wood flooring.
How do you secure the wood flooring that you put down?
Glue.
I don't know. I don't know which one I'd rather do. I think the nail one.
Well, first off, I don't drive nails into concrete. Because remember, I have concrete slab floors. Number two, I have radiant heat. So I have to be concerned with what I put down on my floor being able to transmit the heat.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know you had that heat in the floor of your house. That's nice. I always did. That is a nice thing. I did want to do that, but if I did that, then I would have put tiles throughout the house.
Radiators.
Hey, Rich, you got the radiant heat on the original slab. What do you got upstairs in the bedroom? Did you put radiators or did you put radiant heat up on that floor also?
Things radiant, even the extension that we built onto the house. It's all radiant.
Really nice. I would have loved to go with that. I watched them do my cousins. It was nice. They had like this, it was like this insulation with a track in there where you lay the pipe and then you put the top piece on, I guess. It was interesting. It was nice. But, you know, it's so good because, you know, like we put our, you know, entertainment centers or furniture or whatever, and we always, no matter what, end up blocking the baseboard heating. So I just think with radiant heat, it's just, you don't really have to concern yourself with any of that.
Uh-huh.
There's only one problem with the radiant heat in a concrete slab. The response time to your thermostat is much less. It takes much longer. So as a result, if it gets too hot or too cold, it takes a while for you to change the temperature.
That's why you don't need to run radiant heat at any extreme temperatures. Once that slab is hot, minimal energy to keep it heated.
My situation, that would probably be fantastic. You know, because then the wood burner would get that thing nice and warm. And then when nighttime came, I wouldn't have to, you know, well, I just make it in the morning. I just make it back to the wood burner when I go to work. And there's just like glowing little embers in the bottom. And I just fill it back up. And it lights back up, but I just make it. If I had that radiant heat, I probably wouldn't have to worry about that as much. Okay, I'm running into the shop, grabbing the checks, and I'll be back on the air in a moment. I know you guys are very excited now.
Hey, do me a favor, look around for a weatherproof enclosure about the size of one of them routers, maybe a little bit bigger.
A 6x6 PVC would probably do it. But I'll have to look in the trailer for that. I can't look now, it's too dark. But I would look.
Yeah, one of the ones that goes on the poles with the hinged doors. It could be a little bit bigger. It doesn't have to be, you know, small, but 6x6 is a little small. Probably 12x12x6 might work if it's got a door on it. Something like that. See what you can scrounge around. God, that guy's gone.
Seriously, Rich, when you have the radiant heat, you ever have a problem on days like we've had this fall where one day it's really cold and you crank it up to get the slab nice and hot so that the house is warm, and the next day the temperature jumps up to the point where you almost want to turn your air conditioning on? And that slab is still hot. It takes a day or two for it to fully cool down.
You're under a misconception that you crank up and crank down the heat. You run it at a constant temperature. When the temperature outside goes up, all that happens is the boiler doesn't make any hot water and the slab stays where it is. Those days are few and far between, so it's not that big a deal. Or if you have a bunch of warm days, and then you get one cold day and it's going to be warm the next day, yeah, the house might get a little chilly, but that's it. Yeah, there's response time. There's that initial curve to get the slab warmed up. Once the slab is warmed up, it stays warmed up all winter long, and that's it. It may, you know, go up and down a couple of degrees here or there, but it stays pretty much so at this constant temperature. The setback thermostats only move the temperature by a degree or two, because you're not going to move a huge amount of heat into that slab and expect it to instantly change the temperature of the room. That's the thing. Once you get used to that, there's no instant temperature changes, that's fine. But in the kitchen, I have that under cabinet unit, that kickboard heater, kick plate, whatever thing, that comes on, and it'll get the kitchen warmed up when the downstairs heat goes on, because that's hydronic, that's a fan-forced electric hot water coil heater.
Changing subjects, I'm up to Francis Lewis Boulevard. What's going on with this traffic? All of a sudden it seems to be slowing down drastically.
Now, I forget to mention that I threw tacks out of my window.
No, seriously, I'm almost at a standstill. Is something going on ahead of me?
Told you not to throw it.
No, nothing at all. Whatever it is just probably something going on, maybe by the gas station. Maybe somebody pulled out and got everybody all squinchy. But I'm just about coming out of the trench, and I haven't had any problems.
All right, I'll let you know if I see anything, but I don't see any reason for this.
I both know all it takes is for one idiot to pull out of a gas station and not look, and everybody slams on their brakes, and it starts that reverse compression wave, which can bring you to a standstill.
Rapidly.
So you gotta look around. 12 by 12 by 6 will probably be good.
Well, you know what I do happen to have is, it's a stainless steel, it's a promised steel, but I have a stainless steel disconnect, and it's probably 8 by 6 by 6, probably.
I don't want anything with handles or knobs or levers on the outside. If it's a screw enclosure, gasket, it's, NEMA 4X screw enclosure, that's fine. If it's a hinged and latched enclosure, that's fine too. But I don't want to, try and pull the guts and everything else out of a disconnect switch. That does me no good. I need a box.
Yeah, that disconnect switch I pulled down from an intersection that we were changing. Because I wanted to use it for an outside. I figured that would be a nice little box to make the outside plug for a generator. Right in that little box. But I'll tell you, you could go get, I don't know, 12. I don't know if it has to be quite that big, but fairly inexpensively you can get those PVC, boxes that screw down exactly like you're talking.
They're not as cheap as you think they are. I've been looking into them. I can buy a beautiful aluminum enclosure, painted aluminum enclosure, specifically designed for little mini cell sites and stuff, for $35, but it's going to cost me $15 to have it shipped.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Sometimes we come across this stuff, sometimes we don't. I'm not doing inside work, so we really don't use troughs and things like that. That's why on my end of the shop, I really don't see that stuff that much.
It's not trough. It's an outdoor box. The kind of stuff that you would be coming across doing intersections. If you could find me a controller cabinet, that would be perfect.
Damn big. A controller cabinet is big. I actually had one of them in my house for a while. I scrapped it. I gave up on it. But I may be able to get a controller cabinet, maybe an older one, but like I said, they're still fairly big and they're fairly heavy.
But I don't need something that big, but that's what I need. I need an outdoor cabinet. I'm sure that in your travels with the fiber you pull and with the other things, you come across outdoor cabinets.
We call those a sea cabinet. That would have a locking door, which I can get you the key for. Actually, you probably already have it, a number 2 key. And, that cabinet's a little bigger than you would need, but not a huge amount bigger. That cabinet might be a foot by, say, 18 inches by a foot.
It would be perfect. And it has ears on the back, or does it have the through bolt holes for going through a pole?
It's completely sealed all the way around. Usually it sits on a 4-inch pole, like a ped pole.
Perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Stainless or aluminum?
Usually aluminum. I've come across both, but usually aluminum. So what I'd have to wait is if they have a takedown, I'll look in the scrap dumpster. I don't think we have any in there, but what I'll have to do is just grab it out if we ever get those. A lot of times the county and the state take them back, and they're pretty adamant about it. But if I can get a hold of one, I'll grab them.
All right, standing order for any sea cabinets that you get your hands on.
Is it like a sea ration?
Kind of like a see you, see me.
Or what they say. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't lead him to the trough, Fox.
Give Steve a heads up on where that traffic jam was.
He doesn't go the same way that we go. Steve exists in his own little world. KB2NQN and 2PPN.
This is the KB2NQN mobile. Go ahead, sir.
Red suit? Are you blind? Oh, can't miss
100 of those big red suits at the same time.
Surprised nobody ran them over and then got chased down and dragged out of their car.
The real good one was the guys on the bicycles. And they're not in the bike lanes. They're right smack in the middle of the avenues.
Such drama.
I got a wake to go to tomorrow.
Well, what are they saying this is going to be? 2 or 3 inches of slop?
At least 2 or 3 inches of slop, and it's going to be happening during morning drive time tomorrow.
Toilet odor tomorrow.
Leave the toxic to your home. This is the week. Toxic Avenger was going to get. So I'm starting to switch them off one week. You know, take the Toyota 1 week, take the Avenger 1 week.
So this was the Avengers. But
if it's not the app, how could be the old four-wheel drive car?
I won't have to drive until the event is over. So, I'll take my normal car.
Downstairs is backed up. You're good upstairs to the tunnels, Gary, but downstairs is backed up.
I'm coming up to the Gaga and everything looks backed up.
Took main line. Gaga looked like it had more brake lights on it. But I'm already past, some people call me Maurice. I'm at the split and I'm on the downstairs and I'm looking at nothing but brake lights. I wish that they would put that sign on further back because then I could have made, you know, different direction changes and avoided all of this.
You mean the overhead travel signs that never tell you anything?
Sign that just tells you nicely, oh, Queens Midtown Tunnel, 11 minutes. How about, instead of saying 11 minutes to the Queens Midtown Tunnel, how about you alternate and you go, heavy delays, approach to the Kosciuszko. Then I could have turned around and bailed out at Maurice, and I could have cut back around through Maspit, and I could have come in to work that way. Now, the time that I gained, and the time that I left a little early this morning and everything else is just going to get thrown right down the toilet. Right down the big toilet. Coriolis effect and all.
You'll still make it in time. Hey, Gary, what time is your office open?
Depends on whether you're talking about an early day or a late day. Today, the first patient is supposed to be 3:30. When I come back from the city. Tomorrow the first patient's 9 o'clock in the morning. But I don't have to travel. The office is in the house.
Rice or corn?
So why are you going to the city? You teach out there or something?
Where has he been for the last 15 years?
No, it's like he just all of a sudden opened up his eyes.
In the city. I just thought he had an office out there.
He's been in a semi-coma.
I just don't know sometimes, Kramer. I think your lack of sleep is obviously causing mental problems.
I never really, when I get on, I guess we never talked about what he did in the city. You know, I only come on for that short span. You guys are already talking. And then that's it.
Gary's a pimp. You didn't know that?
Gary's a boss from the city?
You mean he's never heard me complaining about some of my darling students?
And fellow bowlers?
Oh. Yeah, I didn't. I thought you were a dentist in the city, and that was it.
Wait a minute, Gary. You're a dentist?
News to me. But you were a proctologist. Yeah, my call sign. On this route.
You really must listen to himself sometimes.
I thought you had an arm wrestle in your butt.
Yeah, well, you know, not going to worry about that. Really not.
So my son is coming to New York tomorrow, and then he's going to go, I think on Wednesday, he's going with his mother to Vermont skiing for the week. And I think he comes back Christmas Eve, and then he's going to hang out with me and Sloan.
Cool. That sounds cool. Yeah, my son's coming in, I said, Christmas Eve. And he'll be going back home on New Year's Eve. And, or Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. So he'll be in, and we'll be, I guess, you know, doing some stuff. I'll probably take that Friday off, and we're going to the city, and, you know, show him all the sights, and do all the stuff in the city. And then, let's see, this Saturday we have our family get-together holiday party out in Jersey, and then on Sunday I have my aunt's 90th birthday party. It's gonna be a busy, busy weekend.
Oh, okay. Usually is busy this time of the year.
Yes, yes it is. Anyway, and SPPN Mobile, by the way, in East Williamsburg.
Give it to Ian. Scanning for parking.
I as well. So we gotta find you one of them Wi-Fi routers so you could stick something up in the garage or something upstairs in the attic and just get something up in your neck of the woods. Guys are popping up all over and, you know, we need to have relay points. So we need to rally the troops.
Well,
Okay, did you park yet?
I did. I don't know about Stevie.
Oh, Stevie left already.
Parked. I got a minute or two before I meander in, because Monday morning is safety meeting morning. And, of course, there's going to be the announcement that one of the guy's dads passed away on Saturday morning, Saturday evening. And we'll probably be taking up a collection and give all the information about the wake and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's never good news when you get that. Never good. I tell you, I wish my mother could get more help for what she's going through with my father. That is rough. You know, I go there and help out when I can, but it's, oh my gosh, she really needs more help.
That's what's been going on with this guy, Willie. He's been going and, you know, been helping out with Dad and whatnot, and I guess Dad took a turn for the worse.
It happens very fast, from what I heard. It happens fast. So, you know, it's a fast thing, but, you know, trying to clean someone up and everything else, it's very difficult, you know, and it really is, you know, especially when they have like the arm torn out of its socket. You know, you can't just flip them either direction. It's not easy.
The guy's Eddie. Just pulled up alongside of me. He's taking the spot by me. He had to show me he had a gigantic jar of instant Stello.
There you go. So you're probably getting all ready to drive up to your location and get in a nice warm fiber truck and do your fiberations.
No, because the trucks probably aren't running and it won't be warm. And I still have to go to College Point to get my assignment and see what happens. So, let's just play it by ear. Listen, every day is an adventure over here. All right, I'll catch you later, Cranes. Keep an eye out for a sea cabinet for me. And, you never did tell me if you checked that other one in the basement, if it was good or bad.
Same number. You know, I'm going to have to call you, and I'll read you the number to make sure. But I'll tell you, I found a lot of them online. Cheap. The problem is, like you said, the shipping is always expensive. The unit's like a dollar, the shipping's like 15. But it has a whole bunch of serial numbers, and it ends in V5 or 5V. I'm going to read it to you to make sure I'm reading the right things. Because these are very old, and I can't imagine. I mean, they're at least 5 years old.
First of all, and I'll say it again, when you're looking at the sticker, it's the top left-hand side of the sticker. It's not one of the things that gets printed at the time of manufacture. It's one of those things that's part of the sticker, and it'll say the name, and then it'll say something, and then it'll say 54G or 54GS, and then it'll say V something. That's where it is. It's not part of the serial number, although from the serial number, I can tell you what version it is, because the first four letters of the serial number tell you what version it is, like CDFB or CDFA or whatever. Those tell you what the version number is.
All right. I will do that as soon as I get home.
Excellent, Smithers. Excellent. All right, I'm going in. Time for safety meeting. And to PPN Mobile. I was on, now I'm not.
Take care. And then to Alpha Sierra Sierra, I'll be clear myself.
Good morning. morning. This is M2 UQU. Bright and early. My goodness, 6:55 in the morning. Is there anyone around?
Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
KA2YHY from WB2LFD.